You are listening to a sermon by Esther Heise, recorded on Sunday, November 12, 2017, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, we've seen a lot of violence over the last years and decades, and we've been reflecting on that. After the riots and the tragic death of a protester in Charlottesville this August, sociologist and author Brené Brown, she posted a live video on Facebook, and in it she said, "We need to own our own stories, or they will own us." Monty Williams, a Jesuit priest who teaches Ignatian spirituality at the University of Toronto, put it another way. We need to listen to our own stories because we live out of them. Often after a violent act, someone usually says, "How could a person do a thing like that?" Well, it doesn't take us long to figure out that it probably is because something violent was done to them, right? Past negative experiences convinces someone that they're worthless, that they're no good, that there's nothing else they can do but do an act of violence to make things right. And then they live out of that untruth. It makes me think of what Jesus said in Matthew 15, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Out of our hearts come all of that." Violence comes out of a heart that has been damaged by the violence of others. Whew. So what do we do? What does God do with our damaged hearts? Well, thankfully, He restores them. Psalm 23 shows us how God restores our hearts and souls, the very place that hold our stories. If you were to look at Psalm 23 and underline all the things in that psalm that God does and circle all the things that we do, you would end up underlining just about everything and circling nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me on right paths. He's with us. He prepares a table for us. He anoints our head with oil. And surely goodness, mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we dwell in God's house forever. God's doing everything in this. It's amazing. God, our divine shepherd, actively and personally intervenes in our lives to restore our souls so that we are at peace and we can live out of that place of peace. So then, like many good Christians, we have to ask that question, what do we do? Well, the answer for that is found in Psalm 46, 8 to 10. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear." And verse 10, you'll know, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations." Behold the works of the Lord, that God does the works of peace in our lives. And then be still and know that I'm God. So our job is to be still and behold. So as we be still, we can behold the works of the Lord in the stories of our lives. Monty Williams, that I mentioned earlier, was in Vancouver this summer, and Father Richard Sue, who is our supervisor for the people leading others through the Ignatian exercises, found out he was out here, and he said, "Come and talk to our directors." So this little group of directors got to be with Monty Williams, and I heard so much about him, and this is an amazing person. And Monty talked about our stories and how important it is to listen to our stories. He said we have two kinds of stories in our lives. We have our blessed stories, and we have our broken stories. Our blessed stories are the place where peace comes out of. And, like I said before, violence comes out of our broken ones. So our blessed stories are our green pasture experiences. There are times in our lives when it's been like still waters, and the paths are right before us, and we can just go, we can just lie down, and everything is good, and we feel peaceful, and we feel loving, and we know God is with us. These experiences assure us that we're loved, that we're cherished, that we're valued, and that God cares for us so diligently that we don't lack for anything. We can relax because God never leaves us and will constantly look after us, pursuing us with goodness and mercy. So today I'm going to give you three pieces of homework. I'm not going to be checking on you, so if you don't do it, that's all right. But I invite you to. And so the first piece of homework that I'm going to give you is sometime this week to be still and behold a green pasture experience in your life. A time where you felt God intervening in your life personally, and you felt God tending for you, like that divine shepherd and you the sheep. So one of my first memories of God being like that for me, I wrote about in my book. It was so pivotal for me. I was 5 years old, and my mom had driven us into town to take my older brother and sister to accordion lessons. And she went to fetch them, and she left me to wait by the car. And this is what I wrote about it. I said, "Two nights a day to sit in the car, I leaned against it. I didn't know what to do with myself, so I put one hand on a light post and swung around it, and I sang, 'Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.' As I sang, the words twirled with me, and I forgot I was waiting to go home. I felt like I had come home already to someone big and important, and that someone loved me. All the voices that told me otherwise flew far, far away. I knew what I knew." That feeling of knowing that God loves you and always cares for you, that sets something in us that helps us have space for others. But if you were listening carefully in that story, you would have heard what I said. All the other voices flew far, far away. Already at 5 years old, I heard other voices telling me something else. They were telling me I didn't belong. When I was doing the Ignatian exercises, I had a memory that I didn't know that I had. And it was a picture of me sitting on my mom's lap. I was maybe 18 months old, and one of my siblings grabbed my cheeks like this and that and was trying to get me to get off my mom's lap and telling me I didn't belong there and they didn't want me. And that became a metaphor for me in my life, so that I started to look for evidence to know, is it true, isn't it true? We have broken stories that come unbidden. From the first moment we experience disappointment and rejection. Things go wrong in our lives, and when they do, we unconsciously doubt God's love for us. And we unconsciously begin collecting evidence that supports both our fears and our longings. Hans von Balthasar, a 20th century Swiss theologian and priest, said that our lives are like a dramatic story. God is the playwright, writing and rewriting the story of our lives. The Holy Spirit is the director, and Jesus is the main actor. So God's working on our stories, and God sees our stories, our broken stories, and the one who wants to restore them wants to write the stories so that they turn out well in the end. Do you remember this quote from the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel? Everything will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, it's not the end, right? So I'm glad you mentioned Joseph. Joseph is a perfect example of this. Monty Williams called these broken stories that end up all right in the end conversion stories, because both the event is converted and we are converted. We are changed in it. Joseph is a perfect story of that. All the terrible things he goes through. And then in the end, Joseph says, when he's reconciled with his brothers, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So we look back on those conversion stories and we say, I hated it at the time, but I'm glad it happened because look at where we are. The second scene in Psalm 23 is a dark valley. And David says he goes through it and he doesn't fear because God's with him. And we go, well, good on you, David, because that's not how it is for me lots of the time. I'm still scared. So when I think, how did David get through going through that dark valley and not be afraid? Well, I think about my nephew whose birthday was yesterday. And he says, he has this line. He says, "Auntie, it's not my first rodeo." Well, for David, the reason he could walk through a dark valley and not be afraid was because he'd been through other dark valleys. And he was afraid, and God got him through. And we know that he was in those places, and we know he was scared spitless in them, because that also is in the Psalms. So your second piece of homework is that sometime this week, to be still and behold a conversion story in your life. And I'll give you an example. So back in my growing up with my siblings, and I could tell you tons of stories, but we don't have time for all those. But there were stories in which one of them that was pivotal, also I wrote about it in my book, and my siblings don't let me forget about it. No, they do. They want me to forget about it. It was the day they had Hate Esther Day on my birthday. It was pretty awful. So I had a bunch of awful memories of how I was treated by my siblings. But you know, kids are kids. They grew up, and they're nice to me now. We go biking. We have a great relationship. It's hard to trust them. So God was working in my life to reconcile and did a number of things. And I'll tell you about another story in the next part of it. But one of the pivotal stories for me was when 5 years ago when our daughter got married and everybody came out from across Canada for the wedding. And my sister, who is 2 years older than me, she and her husband did like chopped vegetables and did everything. Like they were so, so helpful. And I remember at the day of the wedding and after everything's done, and like many people, many mothers of the bride, you're exhausted. You're like, okay, that's it, I'm done, you know. And I remember walking into the house and my siblings were sitting around a table having a glass of wine, and I overheard a conversation and I just went, oh no. Grabbed my sister into another room and I just said, if my brother is going to pick apart the wedding, I just can't handle it. She said to me, well, I don't think he is. But if he does pick apart the wedding, I'll beat him up for you. So there's a, you know, like God's rod and staff in the hands of my sister protecting me. Well, the next day she sent me an email. She said, hey there, I left your key on the counter next to the stove. Anyway, you have been simply amazing, underlined, over the past few days. With all the wedding prep, your job, having mom and dad over, the little kids, the extra pressure of having siblings around, you are strong, smart, patient, and kind. You should be proud of the overall success of the week. I wish I had half your zen. You know, to a younger sister hearing that, even if you are 55 when you hear it, that's amazing. So there's God bringing a happy ending and reconciliation between my sister and me. So we have our green pasture stories that are wonderful. We have our dark valley stories that are horrible but turn out well. But some stories are still broken. In some stories, our dreams don't come true. Our families aren't reconciled. Some stories we will never, ever look back and say, I'm glad that happened to me. God would never look back and say, I'm glad that happened to you. Some things are just too terrible. We can never say it was okay it happened. So what does God do with these stories? Well, God does a new thing. Listen to these words of Isaiah in Isaiah 48. From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now. And not long ago, you have not heard of them before today, so you cannot say, yes, I knew of them. So this is God not pulling things together and in a way like with a conversion story. This is not God going back in our lives and saying, see, I was there all along. That doesn't help. That's hard when you think of a person who was abused to say God was there all along. That just messes with your head, never mind your heart. So instead, God writes a new story. God, the playwright, the Holy Spirit, the director, directs Jesus, the principal player, to write a new story. The place of the story is your prayer, your being still. The setting of the story is in the table set before you in the presence of your enemies. In prayer, we return to the place where we were wounded. We return with Jesus. Don't go alone. Not a good idea to do. And we go to that place, and God prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. This is your third piece of homework. To return with Jesus to the place, to the meal set before you in the presence of your enemies. And see what Jesus does. So I'll give you two stories to show you what this is like. So back when I was in my early 30s, and I came across a book on prayer that invited me to do this very thing. To sit with God and go back to a painful memory. And so I did. And the memory that came back to me, I was about 10 years old, and my sister walked by my bed, and she said to me, "You know you'll never amount to anything." That doesn't sound like a big deal, but to someone who looks up to their sister, it was a really big deal. It was a big deal. It was a big deal to me. It just crushed me. So I took that memory back to Jesus. So I'm picturing myself on the bed. I'm looking at myself, that little girl. And my sister goes by, and I'm inviting Jesus into it. And I'm letting it happen, because that's what the book told me to do. So I kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? So I kind of expected Jesus would come into the room, see me, and give me a big hug, and tell me everything was fine, and all that stuff. That's not what happened. Jesus came in all right, walked right by me, walked over to my sister, picked her up, and gave her this all kinds of big cuddles. And I'm like, wait a minute, my prayer, my hurt, what are you doing, Jesus? This is when you know that the Holy Spirit is the director and I'm not. Like, what's going on? And it's like Jesus turns to me and says, your sister is so hurt. You know, when she said that, you'll never amount to anything, she really meant, I'm afraid I'll never amount to anything. Well, that changed everything. It wasn't about me what she said wasn't about me. And that changed something. Now, so I'm like in my 30s. I don't know anything about psychology. I don't know about transference. I have no idea that this is even possible. I'm sure you can explain it in a psychology textbook, but I didn't know that. Isn't it amazing? I didn't know it, but God knew it and told me. So that's the sort of thing that can happen. We don't know what happens when we enter that mystery of bringing God into a painful memory. God writes a new story. So here's another one. Monty Williams shared this story, and was so meaningful to me. So he was leading a retreat, and a prayer retreat, and over a number of days, and people were praying specific things, and then coming back to the retreat leader, which was Monty, to say what was happening in their prayers. Well, there was a woman there, a very devout Christian woman, who came and told him what came up in her prayers. And something that came up in her prayer was a painful memory that she had pushed to the way bottom of her memories back there so they would never come out. it came out. And so she said to him, there was a day where I finally told my mother that I'm a lesbian. And my mom said to me, well, it's a good thing your father's dead, because this would kill him. Well, just like I was, she was crushed too. She was her father. She just adored her father. Her father adored her. And to think that this would crush, this would kill him was a horrible thought. And so this was the pain she carried. So Monty said, go back and pray with that. So she did. Brave woman that she was. So she prayed with this story. She opened her memory to God. She sat with God. And as she sat in the silence, she got a picture. And the picture was of herself sitting on her father's lap. Her father had his arms around her. He was looking in her eyes. And he said to her, I love you. I love everything about you. Well, you know, when you have a picture like that, or you have an experience like that, and there's something inside you that you know because you know because you know because you know that it's true. Even if it never happened in real life, you know that it's true. Well, that's what she would have experienced in that moment. And not only did she experience that, but there was, this is me putting my thoughts into what happened to her. If I was her director, I would be thinking, not only is your dad saying that to you, God is saying that to you. And what a wonderful thing for God to say to you. So now this woman has a new memory of her father, a new memory of God, God doing a new thing in her life. God doesn't want the painful stories in our lives that we live out of to dominate our lives. God wants us to have restored stories and to live out of those. And so we are followed by goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Whenever I read Psalm 23:6, I think of something Ian Provin said, the Old Testament professor at Regent. He said in the original Hebrew, you've probably heard this, but humor me, as I love to say it. If you look at the original language, it doesn't just mean follow. It means aggressively pursue. Goodness and mercy is aggressively pursuing us. God's love is aggressively pursuing us. Isn't that wonderful to think of God? It's not like, well, we have to get God into our lives to fix us because we're so broken. God's doing it all. God's aggressively pursuing us with love and mercy. So that out of our souls, out of our hearts, can come the fruit of the Spirit instead of those other awful things Jesus mentioned. Out of our hearts can come love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things for such a time as this. Don't we need those things in our world? Let's pray. God, you are so wonderful to think that you are divine shepherd, the playwright of our lives. You keep writing and rewriting the stories of our lives so that we can live peacefully, so that we can know that we're loved, and to know the delight that you have, that you can see this happening in us. Thank you for restoring our souls. Help us to be still and behold your mighty works. And may we partake in your mighty works in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.